The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running. Are we all in consensus that right now, today, Wednesday, the Lions are the best team in the NFC North?
I'll even one up you to best team in the NFC.
Chew.
Yeah, probably right now. The way they're playing offensively, scoring a lot of points, I would agree.
So Ben Johnson has obviously been responsible for a lot of that success. He's the Lions offensive coordinator. Apparently there was a report that came out of our station friends down in Chicago, ESPN 1000, that said that Ben Johnson wanted to go to the Bears. And decided, but the Bears decided to keep Eberflus, which surprised a lot of people, considering they thought that he was a big reason why the Bears had struggled, and they wanted to make sure that Caleb Williams got a clean slate and whatnot, but they decided to stand pat at the head coaching position, and so Ben Johnson did not, in fact, go to the Chicago Bears. Does a coordinator like that worry you, Chu? Do you get worried about when you see a coach who is having a lot of success with his respective side of the ball, and you know he has aspirations of being a head coach? Would that make you nervous about the Bears being one of the best teams, being the biggest threat to the Packers going forward?
I would when your offensive coordinator calls the plays, because he's a very good offensive coordinator. Now, if Stenovich left, I mean, it'll hurt. It'll ding a little bit. But ultimately, Matt LaFleur runs the offense, puts probably the game plan together. I mean, they all help, but Matt LaFleur is a very good play caller like Ben Johnson. So if you lose that, that would hurt Detroit quite a bit. So, yeah, and it goes for the same side on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, it would worry me a little bit. I don't think I would be over here wringing my hands, because it's hard to say which good coordinators are going to be good head coaches. I mean, when Mike McCarthy came here, I think when he was the offense coordinator of the 49ers, they were one of the worst offenses in the league. Came here, obviously had success, won a Super Bowl. I don't know how many radars Matt LaFleur was on before he ended up here. And even that hire was kind of, especially after the opening press conference and how nervous he seemed, and he's really grown into the role. Somebody like Robert Saleh thought, oh man, Robert, he's going to be a great head coach. Does such a great job with the defense. And he fell flat on his face in New York. It's just really hard to pinpoint which guys are going to be really good head coaches in the league.
But I guess the theory would be that Dan Campbell is a big reason why the Lions are having success, right? He's brought that, like, aggressive mentality. You know, people really like the old school, you know, kind of gritty approach that he has. And Ben Johnson is obviously handling the offense, been very successful. If you plucked someone from, and they call it brain drain, right? When you have success as a head coach, brain drain is when all of your coordinators and assistants get plucked off to take their own jobs, and he would remain in the NFC North. I think that's the caveat here, is if Ben Johnson went to the Bears, is there a concern that you, for you, that he would make them competent?
Like, is it maybe? I mean, obviously, he's a very good offensive coordinator. He's an exceptional offensive coordinator, and that would hurt the Lions. Maybe it helps out the Bears, but, I mean, maybe he doesn't have the ability to develop Caleb Williams the way they think, because he's pulled away with all the other head coaching duties he has to perform.
It's easier for Dan Campbell, too, Gabe, because he just oversees the team. Mm-hmm. He's not calling the defense. He's not calling the offense. Like LaFleur. When you're calling the offense and running the team, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard because you get distracted, and as a head coach, you got to deal with things and penalties and stay dialed into the game. Where most coordinators, when the defense goes on the field, Jen, they don't care. They're sitting down and going, okay, let's come up with another 10 plays here. And he says that. LaFleur really can't do that because he has to watch the defense. He has to he's got to be able to say what he wants to do on penalties like that. And some guys can't handle it. Like Saleh, it's pretty clear he can't handle both duties, calling the defense and running the team. because there is a lot to it.
I guess the question becomes, do you think that the Bears, based on what you've seen this season from them, are one top-tier coordinator slash head coach away from competing with the top teams in the division? Right? Like, for a very long time, Packers fans have been able to say, oh, you're cute, a little pat on the head, and oh, it's adorable that you think that you're in the same league as us. But you have seen sort of, I wouldn't say a turnaround, but they're obviously competing, and you look at the standings and they're right there. I know they've fallen out of the playoff picture now, I believe, based on that loss, that very...
In the hunt.
That's right. That's where they are in the thing. So does it concern you that they might be just one piece away? Or, Chu, do you think this is more institutional with the Bears? And as long as the McCaskies are running the shop over there, doesn't matter who you bring in, you're still going to be, you're so cute, just go sit over there at the kids' table.
What? Okay, let's say Ben John wants the job. Who's to say the Bears are going to give him the job? Like, the Bears haven't made a right decision. Like, oh, you're telling me that Matt Eberflus is a big reason why the Bears should be better than 4-3 this year? Color me shocked. They have the number one overall pick, should be firing their head coach, should be starting anew with this brand new number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Where have I seen this before? Oh, wait, the Bears did it a couple of years ago with Justin Fields, made the exact same mistake. I'm not that concerned about the Bears in terms of their decision-making because they haven't shown me they're capable of making a good decision.
Well, you're disappointed because Caleb Williams has been disappointing thus far throughout the season, right?
Sure.
I mean, if you put C.J. Stroud's rookie year inside of Caleb Williams, I think it's a different feeling.
I think it's a different feeling.
And it goes back to, I don't think they can develop quarterbacks. Now, I know it's early with Caleb Williams. They can't develop quarterbacks for whatever reason. They can't do it.
Because, to me, Chu, it's because they make poor decisions as a coaching staff. That's 100% to me the issue. Like, they make the wrong decisions on the coaching staff and who the guys are that should be developing them. Like, if Cliff Kingsbury was the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, I'm willing to bet that Caleb Williams' rookie year looks a little bit different. Maybe it's not quite as great as what we've seen out of Jaden Daniels, because Daniels has, you know, a bunch of rushing yards to go with what he's been able to do throwing the football, but that coach matters. Who's developing? We've seen that. Tom Clements has made a huge difference for Jordan Love here. Matt LaFleur has been so good with Jordan Love here and understanding what it takes for Jordan to develop, and that's a special skill set. And we see it with Malik Willis. Malik Willis comes to Green Bay. It's not an accident that those two guys in Clements and LaFleur were able to get something out of him when he was left for dead by another organization.
And I also think, too, the other thing that we have to keep an eye on is, of course, the expectations. When you have a rookie quarterback come in, I know that he was the top overall pick, right? Famously. But I think people kind of had tempered expectations for rookie quarterbacks for the most part until C.J. Stroud had the success that he had last year. And then it was like, oh, if he can jump into that situation and be really, really, really good right away, what's stopping someone else, Caleb Williams, et cetera, Jaden Daniels, et cetera, from doing so? But what's crazy is Bo Nix, who also that draft class, a lot more experience at the collegiate level, has been having a way better season. Completion percentage, rating, touchdowns to interceptions, all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, every time you have a guy who comes right out of college, is thrust into that starting role and has success, it's going to elevate expectations for those guys who previously you might give a mulligan to. You might say, wow, it's really hard. It's really, really hard to make that jump.
But also...
The little things, too. Like, I remember going in as, I think it was my second year, and Andy Reid's like, all right, we're going to work on your vision. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I have pilot's vision. I had 2015 vision at one. What the hell? And he's like, no, your peripheral vision. And all of a sudden, he teaches me how to open up my peripheral vision. That's a hell of a coach. I mean, who would have thought of that in a million years? Who would have thought? Hey, let's open up your vision now so you can see the whole field. With quarterbacks, it's doing crazy little things. Quarterback is all about processing. You know, processing, process, process, process. No, you are late here. You are late here by a half a second. You should have went here. You should have went here. Some guys are just like, oh, turn on the film and, oh, that was a nice route here, throw it here. That's the difference between great coaches, average coaches, and horrible coaches.
And to bring it back to the beginning, Chu, is we don't know if Johnson would be a great head coach, right? There's belief that he could do it, but on the talk and text line, Ian is weighing in saying, remember when Eric Bieniemy was a hot offensive coordinator name?
Yeah.
It's a total crapshoot as to who will be good. LaFleur had a bottom third offense in Tennessee, and he's turned out to be a great head coach.
Yeah. Again, the one thing I would bring up with Bieniemy, as Chewy brought up, calling the plays is huge.
He never called the plays.
I would like to stake the claim of I want Ben Johnson the hell away from the Green Bay Packers. The best version of Jared Goff to ever exist is the one under Ben Johnson.
Him away from Detroit is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's 100% a good
thing. He's saying even one step further. He wants him out of the neighborhood.
Take him to the AFC East. Get him the hell away from anything to do with...
Yeah.
I think this guy has the potential to be one of those next guys that everyone's looking at, because Jared Goff wasn't as good under Sean McVay. Now, Sean McVay was a younger coach, but he got even better when Ben Johnson started taking over on the offense, and I don't think those two things are necessarily not connected.
Calling plays is an art. Calling plays in the art, and the good ones are three plays ahead of the one they're running right now.
It seems like he's 15 plays ahead of everyone else with the way that things are going out there right now.
Coaches that watch the play and go like, what's going to be my next play here? They're terrible. You have to be three plays ahead of where you're at right now. That's how your mind's got to work.
Feels like Mike McCarthy. He was play-by-play guy.
Well, Mike McCarthy lost it when he gave up the play calling. That showed a sign of weakness, I believe. And players feel that, like, what the hell are you giving up the play calling? And then taking it back? Like, what are you doing? It's the dumbest thing he ever did.
Chewy, you got a lot of rules. Like, little nuanced rules that, like, affect, you know, whether you are into something or you're out on something, right? I didn't know that giving up play calling was a sign of weakness, and therefore people made judgments based. It didn't even occur to me. Your experience and your how close you are to it, that's something that exists for you, which is
interesting. Well, because, Jen, it all goes back to, and what I love about Holmgren, I mean, everyone thought Holmgren was a dictator, but he wasn't. But he'd keep things from guys, and I told the story a million times. Like, plays would come in, and we're like, what the hell is he running here? This is the dumbest stuff ever. And then all of a sudden we'd hit it, and then we'd find out, because we got rats everywhere. We had our moles that... Hey, Sherm was calling the second quarter of the game. That's why things were flowing. We're like, okay, now it makes sense. You can't say that. You can't let it get back to Holmgren, because then Sybil would come out. But you knew.
On that note, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Be right back after this. Football season is back. I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Drink Celsius like me and college stars Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and more. 27 refreshing flavors to help you stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, Jerry, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper. And now between I kissed her. And then she made my...
Sports bettors, remember tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. You can listen to Weekly Wager. It's our sports betting show. Greg Matzik, Ben Brust, and myself, we will give you the best bets of the week from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's sports book. It is a state-of-the-art venue, dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, first-class bar and restaurant, VIP deck, and, of course, the broadcast booth, and the giant, the huge, the mammoth 2,000-square-foot video wall where you can watch all of the sports. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie. Who would you bet on for tonight's World Series game? Dodgers or Yankees? Dodgers have a 3-1 lead. Yankees kind of undertaking their way back into this one last night in dramatic fashion. Now they took advantage of some of the pitching the Dodgers put out there on the mound. But I believe I saw that the cumulative score headed into yesterday's game, Chu, was 14-7. The Dodgers had scored 14 runs to the Yankees 7. Last night's 11-4 final, even that sucker right up. 18-18 all across the board. One game, just like that.
Does it Does it go 2-3-2 or is it 2-2-1-1-1?
No, 2-3-2. So the next two games are in, well, the next one game because the Dodgers are going to win tonight. But the next two games are going to be allegedly happening in New York.
Yeah, because I was going to say if it was 2-2-1-1-1, Yankees would win tonight, then the Dodgers would go back and win it there. But since it's 2-3-2, Dodgers will win tonight.
In New York.
In New York.
So let's talk about the thing everybody really wants to talk about, because baseball, schmaceball, what the hell were those two fans doing when they reached over-ish, over, maybe they reached and Mookie Betts was in their space, who can say, and grabbed the glove of a Major League Baseball player to try to rip the ball out of the glove in the middle of a World Freaking Series game. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I thought my eyes were deceiving me. How in the world could someone be so brazen? How in the world could someone think that that is acceptable to do ever, let alone in a do-or-die situation for the New York Yankees? Gabe, would you care to enlighten me, explain to me how something like that happens?
Yankee fans?
Yeah.
I mean, this has been going on for generations. Of Yankee fans trying to interfere down that field, that down in that right field corner as well. That's kind of where they've they've famously had a couple of different plays. But that's just the brazenness of Yankee fans of trying to think that they're more important than they are. You're there to watch the game, not participate. The Yankees are not paying you to participate in the proceedings. And the guy decided to insert himself, and then he didn't watch the rest of the Yankee comeback because they were still down at that point.
Well, not from inside the ballpark, for sure. He was tossed from that game. Chewy, you obviously have experienced a lot when it comes to fans. You're the only one of us who has played in the arena and where we could have experiences. Are fans just, like, getting more and more bold, emboldened, where they think that they can, like... They think they can genuinely affect the outcome of a game in this way? Because to me, Chu, this is very, very, very different than shouting at the top of your lungs, than shaking a cowbell, than pounding on the bleachers, trying to make it loud so that an opposing team cannot perform. This crosses the line.
I agree, and I bet these two guys show no remorse. I bet they think they're... superstars today with all the clickbait and all this stuff.
Still doesn't know what clickbait is.
No, but I just think these fans think they pay money for a ticket, so it's Thunderdome. They can do whatever hell they want. And I was telling you guys earlier, and Jen, you experienced some this week in Indiana. You said the language in the stands is 50 times worse than the language on the field. It's deplorable. But as a player, you're taught to block that stuff out. You can't have rabbit ears. Some guys do. Like when we played and this was a preseason game in Oakland, that Reggie is, they're taunting him. They're saying nasty things about him. And Reggie goes over and starts preaching to him like he's in church. And then Holmgren went over. He wasn't happy, pulled Reggie out of there. And it's just, you're taught not to interact with them. You just hope that they don't say anything about you. You laugh about things they say about your teammates. But, yeah, they're crossing the line when they're starting. I mean, that wasn't trying. That was ridiculous with one guy holding Mookie's arm and trying to rip the ball. They're just clowns.
It's assault,
but I agree with
isn't
you.
It?
They're
I mean,
clowns because it's
again, you're going to be like, oh, my God, Jen, don't overreact, right? I can hear you doing it in your car this morning. I can hear you doing it at your desk. But you cannot grab another human being without their consent. And for some reason to think that you can because you're at a baseball game and they're trying to catch a ball and it goes into the stands, like, that's still the field of play. Mookie Betts caught the ball. It's an out. It's not like, well, it was a home run, Mookie. It was an out. And to sit there and think that you could somehow affect that or that you should be allowed to affect it because you paid top dollar good money for those seats is like, I want to be clear on this. I am pro fan. I want fans to be able to make noise and create a raucous environment and make it tough on an opposing team. I think that is all a part of being a fan and why you go to a game as opposed to enjoying it from the comforts of your couch. But what I worry about in this situation, Gabe, is the precedent it sets. much like the situation with the Texas fans throwing the water bottles on the field mm-hmm. when they didn't like the call, which gave the officials enough time to then look at the call and change the call. Now fans think, if we don't like a call, we'll just throw garbage on the field. In the time it takes for them to clean it up, the officials will look at it and they'll be able to change the call in our favor if, in fact, that's how it shook out. The precedent set here is, oh, you might miss the rest of the game, but he already told Jesse Rogers he expects to be back.
Oh, they were told
tonight.
The fan that did this is a season ticket holder, so he has tickets for tonight, and he told ESPN that they were told that they would be allowed back in for Game 5 tonight. So
well,
they
what's
are going to
happen
back
here?
In.
The union's going to step in, and I think most fans, and you know, it's for fan safety when they put up the nets, right?
Yep.
People didn't really love it. I think they're fine with it now. But now, what they're going to do? They're going to put netting around the whole damn field, and they're going to call it player safety instead of fan safety. Because you know the union's going to step in, or they should step in and say, you know, nothing happened here. But, you know, what if it was a higher wall and the guy's holding Mookie up off the ground and he gets hurt in the World Series?
Or worse, and again, you're going to laugh at this, or worse, it actually affects the outcome of the game. Like, this happened early enough in the game where it didn't. I mean, guys, there were players who said that it sort of set the tone, right, and said, like, you know, kind of is why the game shook out the way it is. I'm not sure I buy that. But if it's later in the game and it ends up absolutely affecting the outcome of a win-or-go-home game, you don't come back from that.
Yeah, and this is where baseball is just different than every other sport, because it's not like, yes, the Packers jump into the stands after a touchdown. But, like, there's nobody at Lambeau Field that can reach over and affect a ball that could be in play.
Yeah,
same thing if you,
sure.
if you're sitting in Craig's seats at a Bucks game. I guess you could, you know, stick your foot out like Larry David did and accidentally trip Shaquille O'Neal like he did in the Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, but you're not really in the field of play. Whereas in baseball, even though it's out of bounds, it still can be, you know, you can still make a catch the way that Mookie did in that game. It's just so different than every other sport where that ends up being. And a lot of stadiums, new ones that get built, you end up not that close when you're out in the outfield like that. I mean, the Brewers have a giant wall out there. It wouldn't be an issue for them at American Family Field. But the Yankees, the way they built imitate the old Yankee Stadium, this is still an issue where the fans are right on top of you in the outfield beyond where that netting is.
And let's not forget, I know this happened years and years ago, but let's remember Monica Seles. You know, there are a lot of wackos in this world, you know.
Can confirm.
I'm not saying.
Can confirm the wackos.
Just raised to the level, but, you know, there's such a thing as being proactive instead of reactive.
And again,
I don't know.
It's a little different if he, like, if the ball was actually in the stands, Mookie jumped in and just knocked the ball before it got to Mookie's glove. That's fair game. Like, that's part of the rules of baseball. Once it's in the stands, like, again, happened with Steve Bartman. Now, he accidentally caught the ball. You know, it ended up hurting his team because he, you know, ended up accidentally affecting that. But, you know, this is a situation where these guys, to me, because Mookie caught it, came into the stands by them. I don't know how on earth they're allowed to come back for Game 5.
But let me ask you this, Gabe, and you're the only one here that played baseball. Wouldn't that affect Mookie Betts' psychology if that exact same play was to happen again?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Because
he's
got to know.
So what they're going to say, all right, there's no more seats. That first row is gone. Put a black tarp over it. It's gone. Fans get to sit in the one removed. And that's what I would be saying as a player. You know? Yeah. I mean, if they're going to pull this crap.
I'm guessing those seats are expensive and the owners aren't going to be in favor of that. Because I'm guessing, again, those seats aren't cheap.
But Gabe, the union has a right to have this addressed. You know?
Sure. But also, I mean, the owners are going to come back and say, hey, baseball's been played for 120 years. Like, we're going to let something one time that happened over the course of 120 years, we're going to radically change how we do things because of one thing.
So let's not reward the behavior, though, right, guys?
100%.
Like, tonight, if he is at the game, if in fact the Yankees do not ban him from the remainder of the season or put a lifetime ban, which I'm seeing some people calling for, I don't want to see him on the broadcast. Don't reward
the guy
who interfered with a play, who, again, grabbed. This is not just standard interference. He and his buddy grabbed Mookie Betts, tried to pry his glove open to grab the ball. I guess to keep the ball for a souvenir or something.
No, they were trying to, like he said, I mean, he said in the ESPN piece, he was trying to play defense, have it be a foul ball, not have it be an out. That's what they were trying to do.
I know we've taken this a serious route, but of course that guy looks like that did that. Of course he's a Yankee fan with that hat cocked to the side.
All right.
Have we noticed in the still image, and you can see it in the video.
Guy on the left?
There's a guy on the left wearing a sliding glove.
Yes.
An Evil Shield
yes.
sliding glove. What are you guys doing? What you guys are freaks.
Like that's the same thing as like wearing receiver gloves to an NFL game, right?
It's worse. Worse.
Whoa. Way worse. Receiver gloves, you might get to play catch with JJ Watt. Like you might.
And they could also serve as keeping your hand warm. You have one thing on that is meant so you don't stub your fingers.
I got to be honest, I did not see that, oh. Joshy. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention.
No, you can't. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
He's wearing a sliding glove?
Yeah, the yes. sliding mitt.
Yeah,
like
no,
the
protect- I know,
yeah.
It's just
and I believe it's like turquoise.
Yes.
It's like a bright.
It's not even like a black, like, goes with the Yankee. He's also, that guy who's wearing that is also wearing sunglasses to a night game.
Which the other guy who, not the bald one with the goofy looking face that actually held Mookie, his friend is also wearing sunglasses inside at night at a baseball game.
Well, Corey Hart, right? Just saying, it's my only reference to sunglasses at night.
Does the moron who runs baseball have any power to do anything about
okay.
this?
Okay.
Rob Manfred, probably. I mean, he's the commissioner of baseball. If he wanted to ban somebody from a stadium, you would think the commissioner of baseball would have the power to ban someone from a stadium, right?
Of course, he would probably have to ask what Bud Selig thinks first before he makes any decisions.
We're going to end it in a tie.
If you haven't seen my documentary on Armando Galarraga, you can find it on ESPN+. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy, and that is where Mantality comes in to make sure your testosterone levels are where they need to be. Mantality, a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. What does that mean? Well, that means if you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to attack your day. Those are all signs of low testosterone. And to find out if it is low testosterone, it's easy. You just book an appointment with Mantality, lowtusa.com. Go through the process. You get a blood panel done. And at the end, if your testosterone levels are low, you can work with Mantality and they will come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan for you. This isn't one size fits all. They want to make sure that your testosterone and energy levels are where they need to be for you. So again, go to their website, lowtusa.com. Mantality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mantality, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy
oh
was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now at bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I'll never turn down some 80s jams. This was a jam. I'm doing a little bopping over here in the studio, Chew. Chris weighing in on the YouTube page saying the fact that they admitted that they have thought about this situation before and said they would do whatever they could to affect the outcome of the game is ridiculous. Yeah, who are you? Who do you think you are? Like, you're not a player on the team. You're a fan in the stands.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Act accordingly. Yell, shout, do whatever you got to do. Don't touch baseball players. Don't touch athletes. This is one instance in how many instances throughout 1 year, let alone since the last time I can remember something like this happening at the Cubs game, Adam in the 262 says. I don't think a knee-jerk reaction is necessary. I do think they shouldn't be allowed back in the stadium, and they should definitely lose their season tickets. That would send a message. Agree or disagree, Gabe?
Yeah, they should not be allowed back in. I can't imagine, especially, at least for the rest of the World Series, I'd be open to the conversation of banning, banning them for life and taking away their season tickets. I think that's something you say that's something that's not really, it's not like you're going to post a picture of this dude outside of Yankee Stadium and say this guy's never allowed back in. So I don't know how you actually enforce something like banning for life.
I don't know. He's very identifiable at this point. Like, I could draw this guy from a memory now because I've seen him so many times over the last 12 hours.
You know, at the very least, move him off of the field and put him in the nosebleeds.
Oh, see, you know what? I actually kind of like that
like
better.
Like the old Bob Uecker commercial?
Yeah.
Like they were the taking him out of the front row?
He gets the last seat in the stadium. I actually like that. Hey, you're allowed in, but you got to sit up there.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines very quickly. John in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, guys. I got to say, I love you guys. You know, I listen to you guys every day. I call in when I can. But all this Yankee hate's really getting to me. It was a big game last night, and you know, the organization had to pull out all the stops, you know, and that meant hiring a couple of retired bat boys from back in the day to take care of some business out there in the outfield. And you know, it is what it is. You know, we got the victory, you know, one game at a time now. And but I think
but
you guys
you
are going a little
win?
Too
don't
hard.
Don't you want to win because you're the better team? Not like, oh, we got to pull out all the stops.
Game. It was 3-0 last night. All right, let's take it easy. All right, you know, I'm a fan. You know, forever. I'm gonna be a fan. You know, to the day I die. But I'm not nuts. All right, you know, we needed some. We need. That's right. I'm pulling the Chewy card on this one, all right?
If someone... I kind of respect
Gabe, let's
that.
Let's be reasonable here, okay? We want to win at all costs. Come on. What has it been, 15 years since the Yankees were in the World Series?
2009,
so, yeah. It's been a little bit of a drought for those fans.
Oh, so sad.
I know.
15 years.
I know. But you want the Dodgers to win anyway, right? Or you think they're going to?
I think they're going to win. I mean,
I think the Dodgers are going to win as well.
Don't necessarily want either team to win.
So you're rooting for a meteor? What are we doing?
I don't know. Maybe the lights go out at Yankee Stadium. They can't figure it out. I don't know.
Gabe is rooting for the asteroid, everybody. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Here we go.
Make this the last year that you rent. With Great Midwest Bank's home mortgage loans, owning your dream home is within reach. Since GMB is a community bank, they can explore your entire financial picture and make their own lending decisions. That allows their loan officers to offer flexible options that bigger banks simply cannot. Work with the bank that works with you. It's Great Midwest Bank. Apply online, call, or stop by a branch. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products GMB has in store for you. Do my best, we'll begin with a one or a two. Just looking to see if we put anything on the old Twitter poll today. Sometimes Joshy goes ahead and puts things on there. What do we got? What do we got? Will you be disappointed if Green Bay does not make a trade at the deadline like the rest of the contenders have already? Chew, where do you stand on that poll? Will you be disappointed?
As long as the top teams in the NFC don't really do anything, then I'm fine with it.
I mean, I think we're all assuming. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings
made the move on the
already made
line.
A move. They're one of the top teams in the NFC, and I think we're all still presuming that the Lions are going to do something. So the teams around you are not just in the conference, but in the division, are looking to get better.
I mean, Adam was pretty adamant about Crosby and Garrett not going anywhere.
Correct. Yeah. Which we all kind of, again, the Raiders had said as much, and you don't trade away somebody like, you don't trade away the reigning defensive player of the year.
I want to stress something here because I feel like we've got our eyes set on the big targets, which is obviously a great thing to have. The pass rush for the Packers is so bad that you can almost sign guys off of the street to be better. Like, Lucas Van Ness isn't creating pressure, period. JJ Anagbari, not creating pressure. Like, any sort of thing there will improve it, that front. It won't make it, won't transform it, but more options there is going to be better for the Packers at this point.
I mean, I guess, are they actually going to play somebody that they sign, you know? I have no idea.
It like, sounds to me like you're big. Going against Bill Polian. You're biting that lemon.
If I can get a guy that can get two pressures a game every game, sign him up. Because right now they don't have
that. That was about to say, that would be the best pass rusher that they would have.
Correct.
If somebody got two pressures.
That's what I'm trying to stress here. Yeah. I know I want Myles Garrett. I would streak naked, maybe allegedly, if we got Myles Garrett. But it's so bad, anything at this point would make it better.
Can't believe you just said that into an open mic.
I said allegedly.
he's not the first one to ever do that on the station.
Chewy, you played on the other side of the ball. You were a offensive player, a tight end, obviously. You, I think it sounds like Joshy would sign to potentially, if you could get a pass rush, Joshy would put you out there.
If you could get two pressures per game, yes.
Yeah, I would take it. I mean, like I said, Halfley's going to have three games where I would expect that he's going to outcoach the other side. I'll be really interested to see what he does against Detroit because this is one of the best offenses in the league, whether that's one of the game that he dials up. But like you said, Gabe, that old coordinator over there is pretty damn good, so they're going to be prepared. But this problem could be the downfall once the games start to matter. That's the problem.
And if the trade deadline comes and goes and you didn't make a move, I wonder if you will regret not having done something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I mean, it all depends. If nobody actually makes a move for a pass rusher, any sort of pass rusher for the, you know, for the next 6 days before the trade deadline, then maybe there just wasn't anybody out there and you couldn't actually improve. But if there are names that we've talked about with Adam that end up being moved, that's when it would become disappointing. Because it does take two to tango.
I don't want Philly to get better. I don't want Detroit to get better. I don't want Minnesota to get better. Washington?
Yeah. They're 6-2. You got to put them up there.
Yeah, I know. Don't
Jane
sleep
Daniels
on Atlanta either.
MVP candidate in the conversation all of a sudden. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.
Backing up with some delays along eastbound 94 from about 76th Street through the stadium interchange. Westbound's cleared up nicely, so we're in good shape there. Southbound 43 still heavy from Silver Spring down to Capitol Drive. And then off the freeway system on Blue Mound Road westbound, we've got an accident. Looks like the left lane is blocked just west of Glenview or 84th Street. So just be extra careful heading through that area. And checking the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast today, partly to mostly cloudy, windy, warm, isolated showers to the west, a high of 78. Tonight, rain and storms, breezy, warm with a low of 64. Weather's brought to